Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday morning. Wednesday, November the 5th, 2025, 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. WGH Radio talk time, and the elections have come and gone. And I believe we have some calls lined up here this morning. So hold off, callers that normally call in. We're going to try to get the calls in this morning from some of the people who participated in the elections last night. Hold on here. Well, we're having an issue with the phone here right off the bat, but give me a call back, 740-383-9944. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, but we're going to have some election wrap-up from last night. We were on for over 3 hours last night. We finally got the election results. I think it was after 10:30, pretty close to 11 o'clock last night. But yes, we've got some, I believe we've got some people who were involved last night calling in here momentarily. So, phone lines are open for those people, 740-383-9944. And I would say the big news story of last night is that Charter City, the idea of Marion becoming a charter city, was defeated in Marion by over 10% of the vote last night. Now, as far as city council at large, we had Dan Clark, a Republican, elected to city council at large. Aaron Rollins was reelected to city council at large. And Scott Kreider, the Democrat, was elected to a city council at large seat. Now, the votes there are very fascinating, and we'll get into that as the morning goes along. We should mention that Anthony Azaria was defeated by Ron Prater in the 6th Ward, so we need to keep note of that particular race. And as far as the levies went, Adam H. was defeated. The Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities, that levy was defeated. And the Council on Aging levy passed pretty substantially. So that was certainly interesting. What an election night it was. Joining us as we kick off the program this morning is one of our city councilmen at large who was reelected last night, Aaron Rollins. Aaron, how are you?
Good morning. Yeah, doing well.
Doing well. Aaron, the city council at large race, very interesting last night. Dan Clark was elected. He got the most votes. You were in second place. And Scott Kreider was elected in third place, the Democrat. Between first and third place, 21 votes separated that group. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I mean, that kind of tells a story that I think the voters in Marion came out and they agreed that having too much parity on city council is probably not a good thing. So I think people at the ballot box thought long and hard about it, and I think that was probably a contributing factor as to why that race ended the way it did.
It's very interesting. Bill Dichtel, who is an incumbent, he was appointed to the seat vacated by Mike Neff just a couple months ago. Bill Dichtel ended up being the odd man out with 21.84% of the vote, about 200 votes less than everybody else. Why do you think Bill was the man who ended up being the odd man out last night?
You know, I can't say for sure. The one thing I can tell you is I think, you know, for the most part, just being out and about, I think Danny Clark did a nice job of getting out and campaigning. I saw a lot of signs and a lot of literature. So I don't know if that was the kind of the thing that moved the needle there or not, but I think in terms of just kind of being out and about and seeing engagement, seeing signs, seeing literature, I would say I saw more from Danny Clark than Bill Dichtel, and maybe that was the difference in the election.
I want to talk about Scott Kreider for a second before we get to some other issues from last night. Scott Kreider, like I say, the Democrat, did finish third in this race, but 21 votes separated first from third. And a Democrat in Marion, it's been quite a while in a contested race. First of all, that a Democrat had won, but with 1,625 votes for a Democrat in Marion County. Do you think this is emblematic of something?
I think it is. I think, if you look at kind of the national results last night, there was a little bit of a pushback, I think, against the Trump administration. So I think some of those feelings probably leached over into local elections and local politics, and I think we saw some of that last night.
Well, that's a question I was going to ask you, because I think that's on a lot of people's mind. This was really the first local election since we saw the new administration with Bill Collins and the last council, which was predominantly Republican, Ayers Ratliff being the only Democrat. Do you think that maybe this was a pushback on the local administration and the events in the local council that have gone on in the last 2 years?
I don't know. I don't know that I viewed it that way. I think more of the, I would say the atmosphere nationally is, I think, more driven by what's going on at the national level, maybe more so than even some of the stuff that's going on here locally. I just got a sense that the national pulse kind of bled into some of what went on locally.
Well, and that kind of turns to the other big story last night, and it was the lead story. Charter City goes down by more than 10% of the vote. Wasn't really even close with the vote count that we had. What do you make of that? You were the person who this round brought it to City Council.
Yeah, disappointing. Again, I thought it was a big opportunity for Marion. So it's a little disappointing this morning. I don't think we need to remain in the status quo. Hopefully we get some good candidates next go around for positions like auditor and treasurer, city council, et cetera. But I think there's a way that we can move some of the great ideas that were brought about during the charter discussions. I think we can do some of those, whether through referendum or other measures, and I'm looking forward to maybe doing some of that here in the next 2 years.
You know, everybody I talk to about Charter City, and even yesterday people I was talking to, said we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to pass or fail. Certainly it did not bring voters out last night. We have no indication that it did that. The voter turnout for the Charter City was just over 3,000, so that's not a huge turnout in the city. But why do you think it didn't bring more voters out? It certainly was heavily covered in the newspaper and on radio stations and within political circles. And I don't, the thing that maybe shocks most people this morning, we didn't really know which way it was going to go, but I don't think anybody was predicting a defeat with over 10% of the vote.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't. I had the sense it was going to be much closer than it ended up being. I don't get the sense that this drove people to the polls. Should it have? Maybe. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of media push, I don't think, around the charter. I think there probably could have been more promotion, more journalistic coverage of the charter from maybe the Marion Star and others. So that's a little disappointing, I guess. I don't know why people didn't take advantage and get out and make their voice heard. Because it certainly was one of the biggest things on the ballot this year, for sure.
Well, and I think maybe this is where the pushback question comes that I brought up earlier about local politics, because certainly the local administration was all in on this one. Certainly local council, except Jason Schauber, I think he was the only one who voted against putting this on the ballot, were all in on this one. Obviously, we talked last night about local officials who ran for Charter Commission seats, and yet defeated by over 10% of the vote. So a lot of people feel that's pushback on the current administration and current council.
I think they're entitled to that opinion. I think the issue was the charter. Were you for or against it? And people spoke out and said they, it wasn't time for it. So I don't view it as any type of, I guess, message toward city council or the administration necessarily. So I think there are, a number of good discussion points that came up during charter, and I think we can do a number of those without a city charter, whether it be through referendum or other means. So, again, I'm looking forward to pushing some of those great ideas forward. I don't think we need to be handcuffed by whether or not we have a charter. So,
And Aaron, I just a couple more minutes here with you, and I'm getting asked to ask you this question, but it was a question I did want to ask you this morning, because you were the one who brought the charter forth this time, and a lot of people who are very unhappy that the charter failed last night are talking about it again this morning. Is this something that is just going to keep being brought back again, 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 again? Because what we kept hearing last night from all the candidates I talked to was, let's put it in front of the people, let's hear what the will of the people is, and we'll go with that. The will of the people last night was obviously not to have a charter by over 10% of the vote. Is this something you want to see come back next year, come back the following year, and go until we can get this thing passed?
No, I don't view this as something that we need to ram down the voter's throat. The voter spoke. They said it wasn't time for a charter. We as elected officials need to listen to that. You know, it's no different than, say, the moratorium that we were trying to put on cannabis in the city, right? The voters came out to the ballot box. They voted to legalize it. It's not our job to go in and supersede the voters' intentions. So that's not how our political system was devised. So I don't intend to continue to ram the city charter down anyone's throat. Again, I think things like exploring whether or not we can do a four-year city council term through a referendum. Can we do staggered city council terms through a referendum? Those are questions that, you know, I intend to seek out some direction from the law director and others and pursue some of those things, because they are great ideas. I think there are things that can help move the needle forward here in Marion. And just because the charter initiative failed doesn't mean that I'm going to rest on moving those initiatives forward.
I do want to ask you what you plan to do in your next term, and that be the last question. But before I get there, one more question on the charter. So at this point, are you saying, because of the way the people voted last night, and don't let me put any words in your mouth here, that you would not bring this to council again, because you were the person who brought it this last time around, and if it did somehow end up in front of council again by somebody else, you would not vote to send it on to the voters this time?
Yeah, I don't know if it came up. If it came up for council again, I guess I would have to listen to those discussions. I don't know that I'm ready to say, no, I wouldn't vote for that again. But I guess what I am saying is I don't intend to bring it to the floor. That's not my intention.
Is 10% strong, in your opinion? Is that decisive, 10% defeat?
That's pretty decisive in my book, yeah.
Okay. And what do you plan for this next round of council? What do you want to immediately get started working on come January the 1st?
Yeah, again, I want to continue to work with the administration to get a five-year roadmap for the city, something that we can all work towards. I want to continue to figure out what we want to do for economic development moving forward. Again, I don't think the answer is bringing that position within city government. So I want to continue to have those conversations. I do plan to introduce some legislation for a lateral loan program that'll help with our sanitary and storm sewer systems here in the city. I want to continue to focus on that because that's always been a campaign focus of mine. So those are some of the things that I'm going to continue to work on, along with trying to repair the accountability issues that we have around our finances here in the city.
Aaron Rollins, who will continue on City Council as an at-large member. Aaron, congratulations, and thank you for always being accommodatable to the media, because that's important, and I think the listeners and voters do want to hear from the candidates and the elected officials. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and they absolutely should. Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Aaron Rollins, you're at-large City Councilman for another 2 years after last night. I believe we have another call coming in here momentarily. So stick with me, callers. I'm going to get you this morning, people who have opinions on last night's election. But we've got a few calls, a little bit of business we got to do here this morning, the morning after election. And I don't know how many hours of sleep I'm working off at this point, but it's not too many. But that's okay. We've done many election nights now, and that's kind of how it goes. And as we continue down the line here this morning, looking at the election results here in Marion and beyond, somebody I wanted to have on this morning is somebody who I would imagine is pretty happy this morning after the conversation we had during the election coverage last night and the conversation we had late last week. She was not in favor of the charter for Marion City. It went down by more than 10% of the vote last night. I assume a very happy person joins us via telephone. She is the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good morning.
Good morning.
Mary Ellen, 10%, by over 10% of the vote, the Charter City failed. This was something you never supported. What do you make of that?
Well, I am thrilled that it didn't pass, because I just didn't think it was the thing for Marion County to do. And so I'm really glad that everybody voted the way they did.
And for people who might not have heard the interviews we did, although I know a lot of people did, why did you not want this?
Well, the government has been running this way for almost 250 years, and it's very successful. And the reason we're having trouble here in Marion is because the people in power are not doing their job. And so that's what needs to be taken care of. And it was last night.
You know, it's very interesting. I spoke moments ago to at-large City Councilman Aaron Rollins. He is a Republican, and he brought this to the voters this time, Charter City. He's the one who proposed that we try to get a Charter City, and after last night's loss, the Charter City lost by over 10% of the vote, he says he would have no plans to bring that back to council and doesn't know at this point if he would vote for it if it came back to council, but he doesn't think it should be crammed down the voters' throats, I believe is the terminology he used. That 10% was resounding last night. The voters have spoken. They don't want a Charter City.
Right, and I'm glad to hear him say that, yeah.
Do you think that this should be brought back to council, or should, with 10% of the vote defeating it, it should just be let go at this point?
Oh, let go, absolutely. Let it go. I never wanted it to start being talked about, and then I was really concerned, and I'm so glad that it didn't pass.
Now, Mary Ellen, there are some other elections last night that were very interesting here in Marion County. One was the at-large race. Now, we did have Dan Clark, a Republican, elected. Aaron Rollins, a Republican, was reelected, but Scott Kreider, a Democrat, did win a seat last night. And the distance between the person who got the most votes and third place, Scott Kreider, 21 votes. So a Democrat... Yeah, go ahead.
That's close. Yeah.
So a Democrat in Marion, Ohio, which this has not happened in some time, last night got 1,625 votes. That's how many votes Scott Kreider got. Only 21 votes off from the highest vote-getting Republican last night. Could there be a turnaround?
Good.
Could there be a turnaround in Marion?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking with Anthony Azaria last night. He did not win, but is this was this a missed opportunity for the Democrats that maybe they should not have anymore, because it looks as if they had run people for other offices, they might have done well last night.
Yeah, I think they should have had all the offices being supported, you know, somebody running. I think that's always necessary.
Now, something else interesting in the local results, the amount of votes that Scott Kreider won with and the amount of votes that the charter city failed, the difference was only 100 votes. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so a lot of people feel that the charter city turned in to a political issue and was not good for the Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. It was, yeah.
Yeah. So do you feel it was political?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was nothing but political, yeah.
So why do you think this was the final straw when Republicans have done so well in Marion? Why was this the thing that essentially hurt them last night?
Well, people just didn't want this to happen. It's very simple.
Well, Mary Ellen, I got to talk to you about national politics last night, because the front page of the USA Today this morning says this: we sent a message, Dems sweep 2025 off-year elections, big wins in gubernatorial ships across the country. Some of the other notes, Mamdani elected in New York, a self-proclaimed socialist candidate as the mayor of New York. Record turnout, over 2 million votes in New York City, defeated Andrew Cuomo, over 51% of the vote. I think they had said since 1969 they had not had that many voters. What do you make of Mamdani's election yesterday?
Well, it was a hot race, and I listened to him this morning. He sounds like he really knows what he's doing, and I'm glad to hear that.
Is this a signal of change in the Democratic Party, maybe toward more of a liberal point of view?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point. It certainly was a different point of view in New York, but I'll tell you, when Trump came out for Cuomo, I thought, my goodness, what is going on here, you know?
Yeah, it was a very interesting race there. Does this signal the end of Andrew Cuomo's career, do you think?
Oh, I think it probably does, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I remember how popular his father was, and I just really enjoyed hearing his father speak. He was a great speaker, gave great speeches. Yeah, I think about that a lot, and what's happened with his career and how things have gotten the wrong direction.
Now, another interesting point from last night for Democrats, just 2 hours up the road from here, Detroit, Michigan last night elected its first female mayor, Mary Sheffield, a Democrat.
Good. Okay.
Now, that's very interesting, because you and I have talked about this. Ohio has never had a female governor. Marion's never had a female mayor. But 2 hours up the road, neither had Detroit. And last night, Detroit elects a female mayor.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and a Democrat, and I guess maybe the topping on the case for a lot of people is the cake for a lot of Democrats today. J.D. Vance's brother in Cincinnati ran for mayor and lost resoundingly.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's great.
So, is this a turnaround for Democrats around the country? Has a wake-up call finally happened?
I think it is, yeah. I think people are realizing what's going on with the presidency and how we're just going through some really bad things right now from the president.
You know, Mary Ellen, you and I have been looking at these poll numbers for Amy Acton in Ohio and saying, well, are these really accurate? Because they're showing her within striking distance of Vivek Ramaswamy. It has showed that Trump has lost 16 percentage points in popularity just in the last 7 months. We all wondered if these polls were real. Well, after last night, with what happened here in Marion, we elected a Democratic at-large councilman. Charter City was defeated by more than 10%. You feel that was a Republican-Democratic issue. Democrats did very well across the country. 2 hours away from here, Detroit elects their first female Democratic mayor ever. Is this a, if you're Amy Acton this morning, are you waking up saying this is a good sign?
Absolutely.
Do you think maybe there is a chance for Ohio to turn back into a swing state now because of all the issues going on in the country?
Well, I hope so. We'll have to see what's going on here in the next several months.
What is the big takeaway, hearing all these statistical analysis this morning, and you say you saw some interviews this morning on television nationally, what's your big takeaway from last night's election?
Well, I think the Democrats are doing well, and I was very pleased with what happened, and so that's how I feel, Scott.
Well, Mary Ellen, it's good to talk with you this morning. And after, well, I did want to ask you that after last year's election in which Trump was reelected, that was not a happy morning for you, certainly, the next morning. But
no.
But come 365 days, give or take a few days later, how are you feeling now?
Well, it's been a rough several months with him as president. That's all I can say.
Do you think he's, after last night looking at all this, do you think he's going to have to change something?
Well, I don't know if he will or not. He's got his style, and it's been not a good style. I mean, it's really, he's hurting so many people. And it's too bad. I feel sorry.
And at this point, before I let you go, Mary Ellen, I did want to talk about Amy Acton again, one point here. Do you think now that it is possible, probable, that Ohio could elect a female governor who has not been in office at this point, do you think that's a possibility now after the election results? I mean, we had the election of the New York City mayor. It brought out people. Mamdani, we had the first female mayor in Detroit last night elected, a Democrat. Democrats did well all across the board. J.D. Vance's brother does not do well as Cincinnati mayor candidate. Do you think maybe this is the time for an Amy Acton?
Well, it looks like things are moving her way, yes.
If you were Vivek Ramaswamy and being so closely aligned with Trump, would you be a little worried right now?
Oh, yes, I think so, yeah. He's been rather quiet, hasn't he?
He has for the last few months.
Yeah, does that tell you something?
I think it might. Mary Ellen, it's always good to talk with you. I appreciate you joining us this morning, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.
40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, certainly not a proponent of the charter city here in Marion, and who knows, maybe that figured in some ways to how things turned out last night. I was really shocked by that, and we might have another call coming in here. I'm not sure. If we do, we'll take the call in the next couple minutes. If we don't, we'll start taking listener calls, because I know people have a lot to say out there. But I would have never guessed that the Charter City would have went down. Hold on, let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what about that blue tsunami last night?
I know, hey, I might have another call coming in. Give me a second.
Okay,
I might have another call coming in here. But if I don't, then we'll go back to the callers. But yeah, it was definitely a good night for the Democrats in the country, and really, if you look at the numbers, a good night for Democrats here in Marion. Really, the only downside for the Democrats last night in Marion would probably be the 6th Ward race, in which Mr. Prater defeated Anthony Azaria. But you got to feel very, very good about Scott Kreider's numbers in the at-large race. And is this emblematic of something? We'll find out as time goes along. But you know what I might do here is we might take a quick break here and see if we can get our guest on the line. And if we do, we'll have them this morning. And if we don't, then we will go to our callers on the line. So let me see here if we can get something queued up. And if we can, okay, we're going to take a quick break here, see if we can get our guest on the line, and if we can't, we'll start taking phone calls from the audience. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
All right, I'm not sure we're going to have our guest this hour, so we'll open up the phone lines to you, the listening audience. 740-383-9944. Okay, big night last night. Charter City was the talk. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday morning. Again, as I was saying, I did not know which way it was going to go. If it would have passed, it would not have shocked me. If it would have failed, which it did, that would not have shocked me. I never would have guessed by over 10% of the vote that it would have failed. All right, go ahead, caller.
It's the best day ever.
Well,
best
I'll tell you.
Best day ever. That's my best SpongeBob rendition.
I'll tell you, you know, as I was just saying, I yesterday morning, I wouldn't have been surprised if the charter would have failed or passed.
I would have gave it 50-50 yesterday.
Right. But I never would have predicted that it would fail by over 10% of the vote.
I'm sorry, Aaron Rollins, but that is a mandate. I know it's only a few hundred people, but that's a mandate because you were absolutely correct. This turned into a political issue. I had absolute strangers messaging me yesterday asking me how to vote. Now, I sent them the ballot that was available and that would be available to them. I sent them a sample ballot. And then I sent them the ballot that I had sent 12 other people that had asked me. So this was a mandate on what's going on up there. We did not want to be ruled by the people that are already ruling us. We didn't want to give them more power.
Well, it's
and
very...
We won.
Well, and by quite a bit, over 10% of the vote. And I do think that when people look at these numbers, people love to look at numbers, and we'll see if this story comes out somewhere. But Scott Kreider's win at large is less than 100 votes off by how much the charter failed. Now,
that tells you who came out. Well, I can't say just who. That tells you that it was such a polarizing issue. Because we voted for Democrats, or him, and we're not Democrats.
Well, when is the last...
And I know people... I told people to vote for Kreider. When they were asking me who to vote for, I told them to vote for Kreider. And, you know, I don't know how many people's votes I affected, but, if the Democrats were coming out to vote for that, they sure as heck picked him up.
Well, it's kind of yay boo for the Democrats this morning. They've got to be jumping up and down that a Democrat in a contested race in Marion, Ohio, got 1,625 votes, only 21 votes off from the highest getting vote Republican yesterday. They've got to be jumping up and down about that in Marion City and Marion County. But then they've also got to look at all the races they did not run people for that probably they would have done very well last night.
Probably, but you got to remember when signatures were being gathered and such, the political climate was entirely different than it is right now.
Is this more of a mandate on Donald Trump or local administration or a combination of both?
I believe it's a combination of both. Primarily, though, I think this one is against the local government. I mean, look at the people that were sitting up on that charter commission, and we said, no, we don't want nothing to do with this. And the people did it. I mean, we came out in full effect, and it seems like there were people that voted for the charter that didn't vote for, because I know I'm one of them, that didn't vote for your uncontested races. Like, I didn't vote for Mary Stoneburner and them. I wouldn't anyway, but she didn't need my vote, you know?
Well,
I don't dislike the video woman. I think she'll probably be a pretty good treasurer, but I didn't vote for her because she doesn't need me to.
Well, and I think it's important to take note, and we would have done this if it had gone the other way, but you had a city councilman's daughter, you had a city mm-hmm. councilman's grandchild, you mm-hmm. had the mayor himself, you had the law director, you had the police chief, you had other very well-known... But apparently...
I think it's crazy, though, when somebody says that they didn't vote for any city employees, but two of the four people they named are city employees.
Yeah, that was an interesting moment, but...
I dozed off last night. I honestly couldn't stay awake. I woke up after your show went off and got the results from the internet.
Well, it was interesting. We heard from Scott Kreider last night during the broadcast. Yeah, he was obviously very happy last night.
The sound of your voice lulled me to sleep, Spears.
Well, that's, you know, people have said that my voice can do that to people. But
in a good way.
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting last night. I thought the opening of the broadcast with Mayor Schertzer, who has not done an interview locally.
I missed it.
Yeah, it opened up the broadcast last night, 15 minutes with him, and I thought his opinions, and this was before we knew what was going to happen, on what's going on in Marion, Charter City.
I heard some of the stuff that you were saying that he said, and I know I'm just going to have to go back and listen to it, because I'm sure you have it.
I do have it.
Or Adam has it up, or whatever.
I do have it.
Could you just give us just a brief recap for those of us that have got a busy day today?
Well, basically, his feeling was that he's of course, upset that the Marion is in the financial shape that it's in. But,
sure.
But when I brought up the quote about this being the previous administration's fault, he says, there are documented interviews with me, is what he said, going back many years where he was sounding the alarms of what was going on in Marion, and, you know,
that's
people
really
chose
why
not...
I think he resigned, or decided not to run for re-election. That's just my personal opinion, because he knew the crap was going to hit the fan. But, okay, what else?
Well, and he did not say he was for or against the Charter City, but he certainly made it known that there was one person he was sure should not have been on the Charter Commission.
Would that person hold his previous job?
No. Well, you know what? I'll tell you. He did say.
Oh, no. You know what? Okay.
He did.
You're talking about. Technically, he would been a former city councilman, so you were about to get me on that one.
Well, no. He did say that he did not. That when he was in office, when the expert on Charter Cities spoke, they felt it was not a good idea for elected officials to run. So he was not in favor of the elected officials being on the ballot. But the one he came out strongly against last night was somebody
Robert
who
Lincoln.
Was... Yes.
Is who I'm going to guess.
Yes.
Well, what I think is that, okay, when we were sitting in city council and they gave us 2 weeks to do this, and I want to say ha, 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 ha to Mike Neff, screw you, buddy. You tried to leave us with this and you thought you and Welcome would get your way. Well, guess what? You didn't. But when they were telling us that, you know, this was for the people and the people were clamoring for this and everything else, and then Aaron Rollins this morning again, like, I don't know. If it came back in front of me, I'd have to think about it. Now, I'm just not sure. I mean, it's a little late now, but I'm just not sure how I feel about him and the way he just seems kind of wishy-washy these days. But we told you, no. You swore you were doing this for us. We told you resoundingly no. And the fact that anyone would even mention it again, that they would consider it today, no. The answer for that should be resoundingly no. We're going to work on getting our financial situation in order, and if the citizens want this, and we're going to let them do a citizen-led initiative. We're not going to ram jam it down their throats again.
Well,
you know what? Next time, if they try this, they'll be up for re-election again, and I'm sure somebody will primary him at that time.
Well, and I think the other point Mayor Schertzer made, and we only spoke for 15 minutes, because, you know, he had been mayor from 2008 to 2023, and then also he was a council person before that, and I asked him, I said, now there's been a lot of speculation as of late of when this financial problem started and where it started. You were there, who it started with. I mean, you were there during that entire time, and he laid it at the doorstep of the previous auditor.
I read an article, it was an older article, obviously, in Schertzer. I think it covered a city council meeting, if I'm not mistaken. But Schertzer was quoted in it, and he said, up until 2019, reconciliations had been done.
I think he said that last night.
Yeah, I've heard Jason Schauber say that before. Up until 2019, that had been done. Everything was fine. And then after 2019, starting in 2020, that had not been done. And that would lead us, I mean, this was an older article, but that is what was going to lead us to serious financial issues. Because he was predicting it back in whatever article I was reading.
Well, those are Mayor Schertz's opinions, and he certainly is entitled to those opinions. But I don't know. It's interesting because everybody has the right to run for office. Everybody has the right to get out there and hustle for votes. Everybody has the right to feel how they feel about certain issues, Charter City being one of them.
There's a good chance that him being on that commission, that people didn't want to take a gamble of giving him another shot at it. Now, I'm not saying he alone, but with the make, it could have been me. Hey, I told people, if you hate me, vote no on the commission simply because there's a chance that I might be on it.
Well, but
so, you know, I mean, maybe we all persuaded votes one way or another.
Well, but I guess my final point in that simply was, well, simply was that we also, in all those things that I just said, we also have to accept the results of this vote. And for everybody who said this was a mandate and let's put it to the voters and this is what the people want, well, we saw what they wanted and it wasn't even close. Now, I'm sure there will be people who look at the numbers and say, well, it was just a little over 300 votes. Well,
expecting to pass it to slide it through on a low voter turnout. And what happened was a low voter turnout went against them.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting question I have this morning is, because people were not talking about this, what brought out the people against it? Because you can't have it both ways here. You know, by the number of votes Scott Kreider got, who was the Democrat who won, a 100-vote difference, you've either got to say this was the Democrats having a very good night and outdoing the Republicans when it comes to the Charter City issue, or you've got to say people just simply came out and did not want the charter.
Maybe it was a little bit of both. From the people that I associate with, it seems like it was a little bit of both.
Well, a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, but I'll tell you.
Because short of everything that's happened, Ayers would have easily been reelected and Kreider elected. Possibly, you know, maybe that could have swayed Anthony into office. I mean, if you look at the numbers that they turned out in the 6th Ward, though, and the fact that Charter still went down, that's kind of telling.
Well, I think that's a point to be made. Nothing to turn out for in the 1st Ward, the 2nd Ward,
nope.
The 3rd Ward, the 4th Ward,
we had at large, but most people don't understand at large, and I'm not saying that to be mean unless you follow this stuff.
No, but
you don't know
but I'm saying
what
but,
that means necessarily.
But I'm saying there was no reason for an opposing viewpoint to come out in the first 5 wards, and still it was resoundingly defeated. So I wonder.
Like 333 people voted for Twyla Lang. She's my council representative, even though she has me blocked on social media. And, you know, like 1,500 people voted for at-large. So, you know what I mean? Like, not as many people voted for our you know, like, I just skipped her race. That's what I'm trying to spit out. Like, I would not have voted for her regardless, but I was able to just skip that race because I didn't have to poke anything because there was no one else opposing her. I didn't have to choose anyone.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be an interesting time to see where. Well, what do you make nationally, real quick, with about 15 seconds?
Well, it looks like Trump's getting his ass handed to him, doesn't it? And that the Republican shutdown is really starting to hurt him.
And we got to go to break. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
By Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Marla.